Greetings and welcome to episode 37. I've got you, damn Ragnarok. Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans is in the building. I am Stephen Van Patten, joined by
Taryn Lopez
and
Mark Abbott.
Kirk Johnson is indisposed, will not be joining us this evening. On a slight case of need to go make some bread.
Yeah.
So you gotta make that. Yeah. So here we are. Once again, back is the incredible. Okay, so let's just jump right into it.
Yeah.
Let's.
Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
For those of you out there that haven't seen it and are bracing yourselves to now have it spoiled for you.
sorry.
I mean, well.
I'm sorry.
That's what we do here.
That is what we do.
That's what we do.
You should know this by now.
We encourage you to go see things, but, you know, sometimes we get caught up.
Mm-hmm.
So, Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
A lot of fun.
Yes.
Fun
yes.
is probably, like, the only thing that
That's
really
like
needs to be
thing.
Said.
Yeah.
It's like. Yeah, it's just...
It's a good time at the movies.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And also,
Marvel.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's also like for me, like, I didn't grow up reading the Thor comics or anything, so it was a lot of, like little things that I was like, ooh, what's going on here? Like, I had to, like, go and, like... They put a lot of Easter eggs in there that I had to go and check out, and it made me, like, go and, like, look into those things a lot more.
Right.
Because they were really intelligent about how they, like, snuck in little things, like, on the building of the Grandmaster and everything.
Yeah.
It was just really smartly done how they just kind of hid things right in plain sight, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of nuts. One thing that stuck out to me, that has stuck out to me about the whole franchise, is that in this day and age, Thor is probably the hardest sell.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it's way easier to believe that a guy tinkered around with some money and made a suit and turned himself into a superhero than it is to believe that some guy from another planet just happens to be the basis of Norse mythology.
Right.
And he visits every once in a while and he occasionally
family.
Right. Yeah. And occasionally dates, you know, Natalie Portman and he's actually a very nice guy and likes his beer.
Yeah.
Harder sell, but they've managed to make it work.
Mm-hmm. You know, part of me wonders if they had gone with Doctor Strange first and rolled into Thor, would it have been an easier sell? Because of the fact that
the magic and whatnot
sort of because I love the fact of how they introduced him. How they brought Doctor Strange into this. Because even when I saw the part when the portal opens and Loki falls through, I knew the magic. I knew that portion.
Yes.
And what confused me, I was like, well, wait a minute. Because when they first started talking, I said, well, wait a minute. Didn't they have a conversation at the end of Doctor Strange where he's sitting in the light and then the scene came up? And I was like, oh, okay. So it's all tied together. Okay.
Yeah.
Because they had done that before with Captain America, right before Civil War, they had that scene where they had Bucky with his arm in the vise.
Right, yeah.
And
they called back to it.
Yeah, because I think it was Ant-Man where they used that at the very end.
Yeah.
So it was, but it's, I love how they're doing that now where they're tying in all the characters in a small way.
Right.
So that once we get to Infinity Wars, you know, we now know how everybody's connected.
Right.
Yeah.
So, everybody knows everybody. Mm-hmm. It's like there's, you know, no need for like a mixer or a Christmas party or some shit. It's, you know, it's like, oh yeah, you're the guy that walks on walls. You're right. Sorcerer Supreme. The guy with the, oh, you, but you don't have the hammer anymore. What the fuck? You know, it's like, right.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. Like very well handled business.
And
but we've got a
We have a question.
Patrick Debney's in the building.
Hey, Patrick.
Literally wine. Hey, wow, how fancy. Hi, everyone. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, Pat.
And yes, if you have not been listening to other episodes and figured out that we were inebriating ourselves while we were recording, I don't know what you were thinking.
now what I did love about this Thor movie is just the comedy was just placed so perfectly.
Absolutely.
And even if you weren't familiar, because apparently what I found out was the, and I don't remember the character's name, the rock monster that he meets in the arena. The one with the very soft smoke
or something.
Yeah, the very soft.
Or something.
Right.
I found out that he is actually one of the first characters to appear
in
a Thor comic.
Yeah, it was one of his first enemies.
Yeah, one of his first enemies. And they kind of made him the comic relief.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I've got to say this. Jeff Goldblum is always playing Jeff Goldblum.
He's always perfect.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I love the fact that Jeff Goldblum never plays a character.
No.
It's like the character is Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
It's like so-and-so is Jeff Goldblum.
And of course he would be an elder. Of course. He's you know, a little bit crazy, a little bit wacky, but charming as all hell.
And
That's right.
He was just a breath of fresh air to watch.
He always is. I mean, even back in Jurassic Park days, even though they're getting chased by dinosaurs, I want to be Jeff Goldblum.
Like on the couch,
doing the
right. I'm like, really, guy?
It's like, yeah, these velociraptors want to eat me because I'm sexy. I don't know why they chasing you, but I'm sexy and racially ambiguous. So, that's why I'm here.
Now, I do have a question. Maybe Taryn can answer this.
What's up?
So, what was the end of the film? After the, you know, we always get that little ass bit after the credits. The ship.
So... Again, we talked about this before we started recording. I've never read Thor comics.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not 1,000,000%, but I'm going to guess that that was Thanos.
Okay.
That was my guess.
A lot of people have been thinking.
Like, it was just so huge that I was like, yeah, and ominous looking. I was like, mm-hmm. that's going to be, they just ran into Thanos. That's going to be great.
Because I just never
and
thought
Loki,
of Thanos
you know,
being
luckily
in
the has
ship.
Something that he's going to get away with. So now he's got something to barter with. So it's going to be, we're going to have some interesting interactions right now.
Oh, no. The best, speaking of that, the best for me personally. So, you know, I'm out on a date and watching Thor Ragnarok, and the ship comes up. Lovely lady says, "What's that?" And I say, "That's probably Thanos." Pause. Baby. Who's Thanos?
No! Get out.
But, you know, not everybody, like you said, not everybody is up on everything.
Yeah.
But at least he, not like the shock I got after, not Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
The one where Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver.
Oh.
They at the very end.
That was Captain America.
Winter Soldier. And my wife says, "Who are those two?" And I said, "It's Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver."
Mm.
Huh. Magneto's kids. How do you even know that?
It's just like,
huh? Wait, what?
To be fair, 90s X-Men. That had a long reach.
That is true.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
Because when he first told me that story, I was like, if he hadn't already wiped her up, I was like, you can just take your ass to Jared, son. Because that's a wrap.
Right?
That's a wrap.
It's like, say no more.
But
Sir Mix-a-Lot likes women with big butts, but we like women with big butts who also know their comic book shit. I'm just saying.
Oh, we do. I do have to give a toast.
Oh, a toast?
A toast to the return of two wonderful actors who played in The Lord of the Rings end up playing opposite each other. Cate Blanchett.
Oh, snap.
And,
right.
And I always forget his name, Dredd.
Who played...
Eomer. I know his name from Lord of the Rings.
Right.
He played Eomer.
Oh, we're in trouble.
The Horse Lord.
Yes.
I know him from friggin' Lord of the Rings.
And now the name completely Wow.
I'm so sorry, sir.
People are laughing at us.
Yeah.
So I thought somebody was going to say... Oh, wow.
No, it's not the wine. We didn't know.
Shut up.
The wine.
If we had, look, here's the thing. Time out. If we had actual producers and IFBs and all this other shit that they have at sporting events, like, trust me, folks, as somebody who works in TV, like, when you're, like, let's say when you're watching a sporting event and, you know, who's that guy everybody hates? Joe Buck.
Ryan Seacrest.
No. Sporting event.
Sorry.
Joe Buck. Everybody hates him for some reason. Mm-hmm. But, all right. So Joe Buck will get there and be like, yeah, that was Mark Abbott up there. You know, he was up for the Theismann back in 1842. You know, like, or just random whatever sport. They're being fed that bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I know that.
They're being fed that shit.
And with that said, Carl Urban.
Thank
That's
you.
His name.
Yes,
nice word.
Carl Urban. So it was great to see the two of them together, although they were
not to be confused with Carl Kanai. Hey, the pizza's here.
Woo!
You two talk for a second.
Hi.
So, so
it's supposed to be talking.
So, I know we're talking about Thor, but I also want to mention, have you watched The Gifted yet?
No, that's
okay.
That's not the Is that the one on Fox or the one on
FX?
It's
on Fox, yeah.
Okay, because there's two of them. What's the other one?
The FX one is Legion.
So there's Legion, there's The Gifted.
The Gifted.
But there's another one. Isn't it on ABC?
I don't know.
The Inhumans?
Yes, but that's not X-Men. That's Marvel. X-Men?
Oh, yes.
Like, Legion and Gifted, they allowed to say mutants and everything.
Okay,
following X-Men story.
No, but you know what? I caught an episode when I was here a while back of The Gifted, and it looked really, really good.
I've actually been pretty surprised by it.
Okay.
I went in there really dreading it because of Heroes and how it burned me.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
No, we're not going to talk
about
Heroes.
We're not going to talk about that. But this actually... You know, it's taking a tired concept, and it actually made it interesting.
Okay.
I recommend you taking a look at
it. Are you keeping up with the DC stuff on TV?
Yes, I'm now up to date with all of them except for Arrow because I gave up on Arrow.
Yeah, I kind of fell flat with Arrow.
I don't give a shit. About
no pun intended.
I do have to, but have you been watching Gotham?
Yes. It is my guilty pleasure.
And I have to say, I'm so happy that they decided,
thank you.
kind of back away from the Batman, because they were getting very close to...
That you find that they backed away?
Well,
this season is called The Dark Knight.
in the sense that he's not running around with the half cowl and cape.
He's got a little, he's got the grappling hook though.
Yes, yeah.
I was pretty impressed to see that.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's almost like Muppet Babies.
Yes,
to some extent.
Yes.
And in that respect, it's kind of getting on my nerves personally, even though I've because I'm on Harry Connick, I've actually met a couple of the kids and whatever, and the kids are all very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now 5 years from now, they may not be.
Right.
That train is never late. But, I wish everybody, and I have a few people working on the show, friends, whatever, so it's like, I wish the show all the success in the world, but there are certain things, it's just like, just the fact that Harvey Dent is already, who they haven't really
dealt
with lately,
for a while.
But because, well, I'm thinking maybe because they realized that was a mistake, because Harvey and Bruce are supposed to be pals. Harvey and Bruce is supposed to be passed.
That's true.
That's supposed to be like, you know, I'm crazy crime fighter. You get dropped and your face gets fucked up. And then you go crazy. And then we have to, you know, duke it out. But then, you know, I'm also trying to, like, put you back in a mental institution and get your face fixed. And
so you're thinking they're, like, hoping that we forget that they introduced that character and that they're going to, like, reintroduce him later on?
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Or that is keeping it real. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Okay.
So
I will totally not even blame them for doing that because you're totally right. They're supposed to have
friends. That's a very specific dynamic.
They've done that with quite a few of the characters that I feel. I do have to give them credit for how they circumvent the Joker situation. Because that could have gone wrong real fast because of the fact that they introduced him so early.
Right.
But then they decided to introduce the Joker as a concept, not as so much as a one-person kind of thing.
Exactly, like the madness.
Yeah, so it's something like that. But then there are characters that you kind of, like Dr. Freeze.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't mind him being older.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean,
right, but I mean,
he looked older anyway.
I don't mind him being older. I don't mind the Penguin being older.
But the accident, happens too early in my opinion for him to be running around.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing like Poison Ivy. Poison Ivy confuses the hell out of
me. And you know what? You know what happened? That girl got a growth spurt, and they were like, "Oh, doggone it." We're going to have to figure out how to get around this.
They recast her, dude.
They did. Well, you see what they did with her.
Yeah.
She fell into she became a grown woman.
They just decided to age her up. It's so weird. They wanted her to be like the little childhood pal of Selena Kyle, and it just wasn't working.
And it was like, yeah, that dynamic's not working, so we're going to...
Actually, can I just say, I didn't mind that.
I didn't either.
No, I didn't mind it either. It was just really weird. But then in Gotham, there's just so many.
He's my friend. She's into plants.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that. It's weird. But,
it's strange that she has the body of an adult, but, like, you still know mentally she's, like, 13.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that part is a little bit odd to me because I'm like, Poison Ivy is an actual threat. Like, she's an actual, like,
she's villainous,
smart character. Mm-hmm. And this one is kind of like a, you know, not the... She looks like Poison Ivy, but she doesn't think like Poison Ivy. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of like, when are you going to, like, grow up? You know, that's like, a little weird.
I think there was a couple of seasons ago when they introduced the Graysons. Right. And I was like, oh, be careful with this, because...
Yeah.
It is way too early. I'm like,
that's way too early.
They are not going to grow up as brothers. That's not his little brother. It's his ward. It is his ward.
So, but I mean, I've always... I take a lot of it for the show. I think it went in a very good direction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they took a very boring, in my opinion, a very boring character as the Penguin and made him
bigger than life.
They made him bigger than life. And I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the fact that we're watching a character that not everybody truly liked.
Right.
And now is or really cared about. And now you kind of.
No, I get it.
You evolve because we've spent our entire lives with Batman and the Joker.
Right.
In all of his forms. So it's
and the Penguin's always been there, but Penguin's always kind of been a side note.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
no doubt.
So yeah.
It's kinda like if somebody figures out a clever way to make Cyclops interesting. Going into the X-Men role.
Man, I wish. I have hated Cyclops
seriously.
Since day one.
But
I hate him so much. I wish I liked him.
I mean, and don't get me wrong. And don't get me wrong, when they did X-Men Last Stand and he was dead like 5 minutes into the flick, I was upset at that. Not
so
because I'm in love with the character, but because it's still a 20-year-old character and that makes no fucking sense.
Yeah. How dare you? Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't give a fuck what kind of fucking contract he has with another movie. You can either cast somebody, I mean, first of all, it's a big-ass visor across his face. Find another muscular white boy and fucking throw him up on the screen.
Right?
Like, but let him see at least a half hour into the flick. 5 minutes into Last Stand, which of course is one of the more horrible movies.
But I mean, but look, if you can completely recast Sabretooth, you could have completely recast Cyclops.
True.
But you know what?
Very true.
I'm actually now I'm actually totally fine with everything that they did because I hated that movie. I was so angry when they killed Cyclops like that. I was so angry when they killed Professor X like that. Like I was just so angry at that movie. But now that they fixed it later on in I forgot which
first class.
Yes, the First Class. When they fixed it with the, you know, changing time and suddenly there's Cyclops and there's Jean Grey. I was so friggin' happy that I forgave every mistake ever made in the
first class was a beautiful surprise.
Yes.
I like First Class.
It was a love letter to fans.
Yes, it was.
Believe in us. Believe
in us. Because
I like First Class. I didn't like it enough to forgive motherfuckers. I don't know about
it. I mean, I won't forgive them for X-Men 3, but I like the fact that they used it and made it better because of it. I thought it was a really smart way of doing it. I'm taking a little top off.
And I actually, what was the last one? When Quicksilver saved everybody
right by the microphone. That's dope.
Quicksilver is just like the breakout character that I love.
Yes, that was dope.
Everything slows down, and I'm like, what the hell is going? And then,
and just like how he did things, like throwing like mattresses out
the window. That was dope.
And then catching the fish in the pool and putting it in somebody's hand. And I'm like,
it just makes me so kind of like angry at the Avengers for wasting Quicksilver there, because they did him so well in X-Men.
Oh yeah.
That I'm like, I'm glad someone saw the value of having a speedster and really like played with it.
Well,
because it's so much fun.
But see, that was how I felt. Mm-hmm. I was so upset when we got to Last Stand.
Yeah.
The absence of Nightcrawler. Because Nightcrawler in the second film was just, that just made the movie. And he's always been a favorite
character. He stole that movie.
Also Alan Cummings.
And I was also happy to see them bring him back, although he was younger. And the fact that they had him in a Michael Jackson, that Thriller.
That was kind of funny.
Just something in the 80s, I love it.
Speaking of the 80s.
That was a fun movie. Yes, hi.
Stranger Things.
Ooh, they messed up. But my girl Beverne brought up a point back on the Gotham thing.
What's up?
They messed up Barbara.
I was going to bring up Barbara. They did, before we go to Stranger Things.
Okay.
I'm confused at which Barbara this is supposed to be.
Oh, I've never known.
Because when the series started, I thought this was going to be eventually Barbara Gordon.
Right.
But this is not the Barbara, because the story I've heard, as you know, when you talk to people who are deep into the DC comics and everything,
right.
The story I've heard about Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did, because I think at one point he was exiled from Gotham for doing something.
I didn't know that.
And came back.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I guess at some point he's going to meet another Barbara. Because his wife.
Because
he names his wife, his daughter after.
Unless he's naming it after this Barbara, which is weird.
Which was weird.
Have you never gone over that, dude?
I'm wondering if the writers at some point was like, you know what, we're giving away too many Easter eggs, so one of these things we're going to have to destroy, and I guess we should do this to Barbara.
Destroy the shit out of Barbara. Because
if Barbara,
I wouldn't be surprised if, just like what we were talking about, Harvey Dent / Two-Face.
They just reintroduce.
No, I wouldn't be surprised at all if the writers just fucked up. And they literally...
It could have been.
Oh, yeah. We're supposed to name Batgirl Barbara. Duh.
After her mother.
Right.
Doo-doo-doo.
So, yeah. Hi. What? Ah. I don't know. We got more questions. I love this. We're live now. It's funny because, of course, people listening to this on Blog Talk are going to be like, the fuck is wrong with them?
How do you guys feel about Marvel buying the X-Men? I think that's a...
I wish it would happen.
I think that would be the wisest decision that they do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because, I know
where you're going.
Because what, First Class kind of redeemed the series in its own little way.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, when Bryan Singer realized it worked without him, he decided to come back. Nobody asked him to, but I guess he felt he had to put his 2 cents in there.
Some guys have a little more weight in Hollywood than they actually need or deserve. But that's a whole other thing.
Yep. But my thing is, with Marvel buying X-Men, what I don't want them to do is start over.
Right.
No.
They've established.
The best, and this is my opinion, the best thing they could do if they acquire X-Men, start off with the Secret Wars. Start with the Secret Wars and move forward. Because if we start going back, like now that everybody's established in the house, especially with Deadpool. Now that Deadpool has established the fact, you know, and did his little thing.
And tied himself into the X-Men.
And Cable is coming.
One of the highest earning R-rated movies in history.
See? And
what the fuck? Y'all seen that right there.
Y'all seen the trailer for 2?
Yeah.
So did you see the new the where he's doing the
Bob Ross?
Bob Ross thing? Crying. Everybody that's listening to us now, if you have not seen this Deadpool Bob Ross parody thing that just got released, what was that yesterday or 2 days ago?
Yeah, something like that.
You owe it to yourself. You do not like yourself if you don't check this out.
And
he's the hero we deserve.
And here's the thing. I never liked Deadpool.
Me neither.
I've never liked that character.
But I love Ryan Reynolds.
But the movie gave me a new appreciation for him.
Yeah.
And again, it's almost like the comedy bits that they threw in there. Not the things that were like thrown at you, like the whole joke about the little hand and the thing. But the thing that like cracked me up was like when they got out the cab and they walk into the fight and he goes, "Where's your bag?" And the bag is still in the cab and he's like on the cell phone trying to reach the guy. It's like, back to Ragnarok.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I thought this was so funny when he was like, when he said to Loki, let's do, we have to do, my brother's hurt, or something. He's like, I'm not doing.
And we need help.
We need help. He's like, I'm not doing, we need help. And he comes out, he's like, my brother's hurt, we need help. And I don't know why that was so funny to me, because it shouldn't have been.
Because for the first time in a long time, they were brothers. That was a scene where it was like, clearly, they grew up together and they are brothers. That was the scene right there.
And just the fact that he's like, slumped like, over on his arm. And
I love the two of them. I love their relationship.
So, Stranger Things.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is what's wrong with the internet.
Oh, shit.
What I know now about the character of Winston from Ghostbusters made me mad at the fact that they had the argument over the play to be
right
Venkman, and he's like Winston's the worst. He's the last to show up, and I'm like,
yeah. I want to say Ernie Hudson has suffered enough.
Yes,
like really, like let's just. Can we stop the bleeding? Is all I'm trying to say.
It's sad because I think one night I was sitting up and I was like, I have to look up and find out what Winston did, because they never tell you what Winston did.
No.
And it hurt me when I found out that Winston actually, he's a former NASA astronaut. His backstory was that he actually shows up in the script, the original script. He's the first one to show up. And they talk about the fact that he was a NASA astronaut, and he's like an astrophysicist. Like, he's this really smart guy that ended up with the Ghostbusters.
So he's actually a scientist, too.
And he's a scientist. But what happened was, the role was supposed to go to Eddie Murphy. Murphy turned it down, so they cut all of that stuff out about Winston. And according to Ernie, he said when he read the original script, he was so excited
all this
to play
stuff
the part.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, they send him the reprint, and he doesn't show up to like halfway through the movie. And he was like, and he goes to Ivan Reitman, and he was like, "Could we like put this back?" And he
fix
was like,
this?
"He was like, no, the studio doesn't. No." So like when Winston comes in, it's almost like some dude who was looking for a job, and they just hired
that,
him off
that
the
is,
street.
Not like, that is what it is.
And I'm like,
blue collar dude.
Yeah. That's why we all looked at it like, well, yeah, that's who he was. That we needed somebody else.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I was happy to see a brother working.
No, I was.
But
that changes the dynamic.
And I mean, and totally. And the other thing is, like, just from you know, from retrospect. You know, like when we were first watching this and we were kids and the whole thing and whatever, you know, and of course we weren't living in Trump America. Mm-hmm. So we weren't altogether thinking, you know, about how this, and of course you don't know the whole thing about Eddie Murphy right. at the time. And mm-hmm. the whole, so you're not even focused on it. But now you hear the story and you're like, these motherfuckers.
Yeah. Because I would have loved to see him in his element before he ended up becoming a Ghostbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And even if it was one of those situations where he wasn't necessarily the smartest one or whatever, it looks like, give a brother a backstory.
Right.
And that is, honestly, that's my complaint about a lot of this shit. Like, not even just horror, just movies in general.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the backstory? Where's the character development?
Mm-hmm.
Where is some kind of buildup? Why do I care about this person?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, because if you don't give me that, then the movie suffers.
Right.
I don't mm-hmm. give a fuck who, you know, gay, straight, white, black, yellow, you know.
You got to understand the stakes.
Exactly.
And that's right. part of who this person is.
Exactly.
You know? Mm-hmm.
100%.
And again, I think we've always often discussed about the fact that people are just impatient. You know, that yes. that audiences now, mm-hmm. they just want it thrown up against the wall. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't need to know any of this. It's almost like one of my pleasant surprises, although people never really truly liked Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. But the fact that you get to find out why he became so passionate
the intro
about
River
it.
Phoenix?
And yes.
It's awesome.
And it's probably one of my favorites when the guy turns and gives him the
yeah.
hat. And you're like, so that's why.
Rest in peace, River Phoenix.
Because you don't think about, it's those little things. Like, it's like.
And with him with the whip and him, you know, cutting his lip and, you know, trying to. Because
it's like, you always knew
yeah.
he was afraid of snakes. You never knew why.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
then it's always that one thing that the character carries around with him. That becomes the staple, but you never know. It's like Buffy. On Buffy the Vampire Slayer, how we find out how Spike gets the leather jacket,
mm. right.
and it turns out to be that dude's mother who he fought on the train, and he took the coat from her. And it's like, wow, you've been walking around with a Slayer's coat this whole time.
Mm.
And it just adds to just like the character, but
the
I guess that's why the TV stuff works so well. Because we get to know... these characters
yeah.
and get to grow with them.
Except
and,
for Arrow, apparently, because...
Listen, I just don't have time for that anymore. I gave myself too damn long with Arrow. I'm down with every other DC show.
Uh-huh.
I can't do Arrow anymore.
Where did you stop? What season?
Thank you, Jermaine.
Hello, Evita. I want to say...
How y'all doing?
4?
Okay. Right.
Wait, what now?
Yeah, just about where I stopped, too.
Yeah?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, season 4, right after Slade came back the first time. Right after that. I stayed just to watch him because I like him.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched him, but then after that, I was like, I'm
well, he's
good.
Back now, actually.
That's not even a draw enough. That's Spartacus, it's okay.
I'm just, all right, okay, just you know, whatever's clever.
They can't bring me back.
But... Stranger Things.
Oh, yes.
And we're back.
Back
to Stranger Things.
And we're back.
One of the things I love about this show,
mm-hmm.
and I loved it about in the first season, but even more at this one, is the 80s nostalgia.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my God.
The fact, I want to know who was working props that they found a Three Musketeers bar with the original the original
yes.
white
rapper. I bet you anything. They graphic artists.
They made that.
Well, because
they made that, yeah.
because
that,
where the hell else
that,
are you
and
getting
also
that?
And it's like, we've been saving this for 30 years.
What's that smell?
it's been in the vault, guys.
It's that Three Musketeers. It's that Three Musketeers over there. Like,
the
oh,
oxygen
shit.
Is shit.
And then the fact that he had the mini VHS.
Yes!
She couldn't
yes!
And she was like trying to put it in.
Big ups
like,
to
that.
You got it up to the props department. And then, like, he's boy. Looking at her.
And then, look, big ups to Radio Shack for making a comeback.
Yeah, right?
Because you know that's where we all went.
That's all we
There was nothing else.
Dude, I had a personal relationship with people at Radio Shack. What are you talking about? Yes. Exactly. Well, of course they did have name tags. But I mean, you know,
But they knew me.
Oh, they knew you, yes.
Them and consumers.
You were like Norm and shit.
Zoom is distributed. Oh, my God.
Christmas. Oh, I think I had some kind of coupon or some Spiegel. Shit. Spiegel. Yeah. This is officially the Showing Our Age episode of Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, ladies and gentlemen.
People don't know about Christmas layaway.
We're supposed to be talking about nerd shit.
Why are we talking nerd about shit?
All this shit that happened back in 90s. Oh my God.
So, another thing that cracked me up. I wonder if the casting agents are actually trying to find doppelgangers. Because the dude with the Camaro looks just like Rob Lowe.
Oh, my God. Wait, he sure does.
Oh, yes. Okay, so
he sure does.
Like, where are we now?
Yes,
he does.
Yes.
But like a dirty
Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe has been, like, slumming it for the past, like, 5 years.
Oh, right. Rob Lowe.
Kind of balding a little.
Rob Lowe that didn't have DirecTV. Right. Rob Lowe on cable. And Rob Lowe on cable.
And then Rob Lowe on everything.
The fuck?
And I peaked in high school, Rob Lowe.
Right. That's it. I peaked in high school, Rob Lowe.
Exactly. Dude looks like.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's the second season. I mean, I haven't gotten all the way through it.
Right.
But so far, from what I've seen, it's been a lot of fun to watch. And the first season was just a lot of fun just to get to go back. And the fact that in the beginning, because I was like, what is it with these quarters that they need so bad?
Right.
And then they get to the arcade. And it's like, that game was a pain in my existence. Dragon's Lair?
I've never played that game, but I've seen... I used to go to the arcade, but I was too young. Dude. I used to see people play that game, and that game was ridiculous.
And I love the fact that he was like this overpriced piece of shit.
Seriously,
because it was a 50-cent game.
It was beautiful, though.
It was!
It was a 50-cent game.
Right. After a while, you had to be like, okay, I need my allowance for other things. You know? I need to go get this Rick James album, you know, something. Well, that was me. I don't know.
That was you.
I'm just saying. I was into Rick James. What? Shit. I don't know. My mom was mad, too, when I brought that album home where he's in a tunic and he has a girl wrapped around his legs. I brought that shit home. My mom, I thought she was going to beat the shit out of me. Yo. I was like,
You didn't hide that?
I hid it. I'm an only child. There's only so much shit I can do. That's like being a prisoner. You know what an only being an only child is like being the only prisoner in the prison.
It's like the spotlight.
Exactly. Right there.
Everything you do.
It's everything I do. So I'm like, first of all, I'm in there blasting the damn song. She was only 17. 17. And she was sexy. And then my mother's like, what the hell? Starts checking stuff out. And I'm just like, Oh my God. Is this what you spend your allowance on? And I'm like, well, there's it. And then meanwhile, it's like a Kiss album. Because I was going back and forth between funk and Kiss.
And Kiss.
That was the phase I was kind of going through.
I'm kind of mad at my parents for not being like that. Because nowadays, like, I look back and one of the first albums I ever had was a Prince one where one of the first songs I ever memorized was Darling Nikki. Where I don't know if y'all
know the soundtrack.
Yes. Yeah, that was the Purple Rain soundtrack.
Exactly, but I'm like a 5 or 6 year old kid singing "Darling Nikki," and my parents didn't do nothing. They didn't say that. We never had a talk. They heard that playing in my room. Never had a conversation.
They're like, "Oh, that's so cute. Look at your baby."
I'm like, you know what the hell? Mm-hmm. There needs to be a conversation there, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well. Stranger Things.
I'm sorry. Back to Stranger Things.
No, it's fine. We keep diverted.
we really do.
We went from 11 to Stranger Things to to Rick James.
There are a lot of tangents. There's a lot in Stranger Things. There's a lot of references. You know, it's just a really packed show.
Hey, I'm on a couch and people can see me. I can actually do the fuck your couch thing. I'm not going to do it.
Jesus Christ.
No, I'm not going to do it because it's my couch. Anyway.
Stranger Things.
You were saying. I'm sorry.
I'm interested. I'm really curious to see how far down the rabbit hole this thing is going to go.
Have you...
Go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Where'd you leave off? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I was wondering that.
Because I'm done.
Okay, yeah, so where I left off, they had found out that this thing had grown underneath the town. Like, it had started to spread out.
Who's they?
Our
heroes?
Yeah, when the scientists took the sheriff down into the thing, and he showed him, and he said, you know, this thing is growing.
Oh, okay.
That was,
when Paul.
And yes. So I think
that... Yeah, Paul Reiser.
Yeah.
Who looks like his party is caught up with him, boy.
Can I just say, like, have you guys felt the theme of Aliens?
Yes!
On this one?
No!
Paul Reiser shows up, and I'm like, oh, Burke!
But
yes!
Wait, yeah.
When Burke is back!
I thought about you, because the fact that they're sitting there watching the monitor, and you see the...
Yep.
And they're like, it's coming towards
there's
you. They're coming
so
from
much.
Around you. And I'm like,
yep.
Oh my God, this is Aliens.
The fact that there's
never...
more than one now.
Yeah.
They totally took from the Aliens theme of how to make a good horror sequel.
And
you know?
He was like, they're all standing here in this bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you see the motions. And I'm like, wow, this is... And then the fog kind of just rolls in and just takes everybody out. Yeah, it's always... Well, you know what? You know who else looks like the party didn't skip him either?
What?
Sean Astin.
Yes.
I'm like, Jesus, the Hobbit got big.
Look. First of all...
Sam Sixman Eaton.
First of all... Sean Astin is about as tall as we are sitting down. He's got all the money in the world.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He got a nice Lord of... I don't give a fuck what. He's got a nice Lord of the Ring check coming every month.
Yep. Residuals.
Every month. His house is probably fly as shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's he doing? He's enjoying Ruth Chris. He's enjoying some wine. He's lit. He's like, yeah, fuck that. I was Samwise Gamgee. That's right.
I was waiting.
Yeah, bitch.
I was waiting for the Goonies reference.
That was
one. I was waiting for him to say something to the effect about a map or so, or maybe that was the reference. The fact that he figured out the map.
Maybe. I didn't even think about that.
Maybe that was the Goonies reference.
I think
that's
totally.
They get the one person to look for the map to figure it out.
Can I just say I love that he was the one that figured that out?
Yes.
Like, I just kept on thinking that he was going to just be like this nerd that was just going to be in the background of the whole season, and then suddenly he like shows like, oh, okay.
I like puzzle games and
this
stuff.
This is
and
why
like,
she likes you.
Oh, okay.
Now we understand.
Well, hey, it's like everybody's got a superpower, baby.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got a superpower.
There it is.
Good guy.
But yeah, that's where I left off, and I'm looking forward to finishing it.
All right.
Indeed. I look forward to hearing your assessment of the finale.
Okay.
Good stuff.
Speaking of finales.
Walking Dead, not quite at their finale yet, but...
They passed the finale.
Yeah.
But...
That's spoiling.
Where are we? Like certain things certain things are still cool.
Mm-hmm.
So you said, and rightfully so, the breaking of... King Ezekiel was coming.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. First of all, let's talk about how the one glaring inaccuracy of The Walking Dead for me is how black men would fare in a zombie apocalypse. Mm. Because I tend to think, and I freely admit I'm biased as a mother, but I like to think that after the initial shock, you might lose a couple of us because we got caught on the Q train. You know, some shit. You know, this one got to go back for his mama.
Right, right.
shit, I might have to go back for my mom. I mean, come on. But, I mean, you know, after the initial fallout, we be running shit. Because who's going to be the leadership? Motherfuckers like Trump?
You know.
Didn't go to Vietnam because of bone spurs?
See.
Like, I'm
you're completely right. And it's even more glaring because you have to remember that this show started in Atlanta.
Hello! Hello!
I've been to Atlanta. I've seen the population of Atlanta. And you see the people that came out of Atlanta, very pale complexion, and that's not the population majority that I've seen. So it's like you would see more people of color alive there, but no, you only see like a little sprinkling here and there. It's like,
and then it's also inaccurate from the zombie breakdown if you look at it like that, because that should be nothing but a bunch of black zombies.
Seriously, that is totally true.
Because they really haven't traveled as far as they've gone outside of the city limits of Atlanta, they haven't gone that far.
Yeah, they keep on circling around, you know, a general area.
So I guess the question would be, did we all haul ass out of there before shit went down? And that's why there's none of us around.
It's like all the birds started leaving. We were like, oh shit.
It's like, well, white folks kept saying, go back to Africa. Peace.
I mean, you know, here's the thing about the whole zombie apocalypse dynamic. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is that the night and day of The Walking Dead's version and George Romero's.
Right.
Because if you look at the history of George Romero's, with the exception of Land of the Dead, and I didn't really watch the other ones after like Land of the Dead, but even in Land of the Dead, the smartest zombie in there was the brother. Like everybody,
how about that?
Everybody from
how about that?
Night of the Living Dead, mm-hmm. to Dawn of the Dead, to Day of the Dead. I mean, we were, and even with Land of the Dead, Latinos are looked upon in a different dynamic. And I guess probably because if you look at George Romero's dynamic of it, that they were. It's about culture, the counterculture that we were living in at that time.
Yes,
and that on the hierarchy of things, it would be the minorities who would shine more than the majority because everybody got comfortable, and the minorities were always the fighters, and we're always fighting for an opportunity. We're always fighting for this. So when this shit happened, y'all got laxed, and we realized, look, we got to get the hell up out of here. Mm-hmm. The problem I'm having with The Walking Dead is that it almost feels like, both from a story standpoint and from a production standpoint, there can't be too many of us on screen at one time. It almost feels like that. Because it seems like when there's more, it's like one or two, if there's three of us, two of us are gone.
Someone's got to die.
And it's always a violent death.
Yep.
It's never something.
Everybody eats Chris.
Jesus. Sorry. I still can't. And that was probably the longest and goriest death I had seen among everybody on that show. I mean, even.
They did him like we did this pizza.
And the sad part is the person who should have got a death like that, which was, what's his name's brother? The racist. Who should have gotten one of the goriest deaths of everybody.
They should have put barbecue sauce on Merle.
Was allowed to kind of just glide off into the sunset with his brother finding him. Popping him in the head and putting him down. And even that didn't feel like closure to me for that character.
Right.
No. You know, it's still because, you know, how much he cared about his brother.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But then it always seems like we give up. Like, season one, the chick decided she was going to stay at the CDC and burn rather than continue on.
Yes.
We forgot about her. Mm-hmm. That decided she didn't want to travel with the group and decided to die.
I've had enough, babe.
There was, I mean, we had the whole thing with Chris, the brother that liked the chick, who's now on Star Trek. The one who got bit.
Oh, yes.
And they started eating him and found out he was infected.
Oh, right. Yes.
Him.
Yeah.
And even her with the pill, swallowing the pill and committing suicide.
But I like the way she went out, though.
No, she went out. She went out like a G.
Yeah, she went out like a G.
She was...
Sonia? That was her name.
Yeah, Sonia.
Sonia.
She went out like a G.
Yep. She was cool.
I mean, and then even if we look at the death of... what's his name? Who got his head bashed in?
Oh, Glenn.
Glenn.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, like, everybody seems to be to say the same thing. It was like, once I saw that, I stopped watching the show. And what's interesting about
that... There was
that,
a lot of that, yeah.
And it was a lot of that, but I was like, you
watched
know...
Watched the wrong show, if that's the case.
The thing was, I'll put it to you this way. If that was your reasoning for stopping from not watching the show, thank God you didn't read about what the governor did to Michonne.
Hey, we're not going to get into that yet.
But my point is, what he did to her in the comics was completely, like, if you were still reading the comics after that, you had a strong stomach.
The comics is so much worse.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the comics is so much harsher.
Literature is always worse.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Leave it to your imagination.
Absolutely.
It's so much harsher.
But I'm kind of glad, I'm not kind of glad, I'm actually really glad they didn't do that. Because, to be honest, as a country,
We didn't need that.
I don't think we needed that. Mm-hmm. And in retrospect, now that, you know,
we damn sure don't need it now. We got enough of that on Game of Thrones.
Word. How about that?
Especially not with that character. I don't want that to happen to Michonne.
No.
Like, that changes you.
Yeah, no, it does. It does.
I like this version of Michonne, even though she's with Rick. And that still weirds me out a little. Because I'm good with them being friends, because they're like... They're like partners. They're like respectful partners in my mind because of the comic. But then them being a couple, like, I'm okay with it, but it still weirds me out a little, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever. What's going on me? Carl calling her mom. What's going on me?
Carl!
He's a new mom, Carl!
Carl around, boy.
Carl!
But I don't know how long this is going
to
go on.
I'm starting to feel, and I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Die Hard Walking Dead fans probably disagree with me up and down. But I'm starting to feel we're starting to drift into late season Sopranos territory.
Yeah, we're just kind of like dragging on.
It's making money.
Yeah.
So we just going to keep cranking shit out.
Right.
I mean, to be fair... The comic, Kirkman has already stated that the comic is going to end. Mm-hmm. So he has an end date for the story overall. So
that's probably because Kirkman, unlike a lot of us, has enough money.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, there is an ending in sight. So if the show wanted to piggyback off of that, they're going to have like the storyboard created for them to have, you know, the exit story eventually.
Yeah.
Well, there'll be an exit story, all right.
But it's making enough money. It's not going to go anywhere for now.
Zombie breakdance competition. Oh, shit. Yeah, well. So, there was one other topic I was going to throw up, but we only have 8 minutes. So, I'm actually down to save that for a different episode.
Okay.
So,
So we're going to talk about BS for about 7 minutes. And then I'm going to reset, do some funny shit on the computer. But, you know, the three of you that are still with us right now, you know, y'all hang out because we're going to have an important conversation.
Okay.
You know, in about 6 and a half. In the meantime, since we have a little time, why don't we do this? Why don't you plug some shit?
Oh, well.
No pressure.
No.
No pressure at all.
Shall we?
Oh.
Shall we?
Sure.
So Taryn and I.
They're going to tango.
Have been updating our children's book.
Yes.
And we're very close, very close to finishing.
So close.
So close. Carl, so close. That's how close we are.
Yes.
that hopefully within, probably by the next time we do the next episode, we can officially announce.
I think so.
The launch of this project.
I am looking forward to that.
But it has been.
It's been a long time
coming. It has been a long time coming.
But it looks really good.
She's done some awesome graphic work on it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking forward to putting that out soon. And nothing truly new on the horizon. Still.
When's
working.
The next man you got to hear this?
Oh, the next man you got to hear this will be next week, Wednesday. That will be at Precious Metal in Bushwick.
I'm not working. I can fucking go to that.
Yeah, you should come.
I'll be there.
It's the day before Thanksgiving, so that means you can get super drunk and not have to worry about getting up the next morning. So, man, next week.
You need to come just 7 to o'clock, see me.
7 o'clock next week at Precious Metal.
Okay.
And so that's the big thing that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And
wait, and what's the address?
Oh, damn it.
Mark!
You know what? I'm a New Yorker.
There was no prep.
You know how New Yorkers are. We don't know addresses to things.
No, we can tell you how to get there. You make a left of the McDonald's.
You go that way.
Okay.
And I'll give it to you in a minute.
Please do.
Go ahead.
In the meantime, let's see. Well, as everyone who may or may not know, I am the author of 4 novels. 3 are about an 1860s Georgia plantation slave who becomes a vampire. That is the Brooke Waters Curse series, available on Amazon and at my website, www.laughingblackvampire.com. You can also get your copy of Killer Genius, which is about a hyper-intelligent black woman who is also a serial killer. Happen to be very proud of that one, actually.
It's a great book.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. He's not just saying that.
No, it really is.
Jury
duty.
I'll have to get my hands on it. You read during jury duty?
Yeah.
That should have got you out of jury duty, to tell you the truth. What are you reading there, Mr. Abbott?
Killer Genius.
Let me tell you.
Okay, you can dismiss juror number 3.
Yeah, seriously.
You can just give him his coupon now. matter of fact, you never have to come back. That's when I'm not stage managing television shows or hanging out with fabulous people like these two, that's what I'm working on. Actually, in the middle of I'm about halfway done with the sequel.
Oh, nice.
To Killer Genius.
Nice.
So hopefully by next year we will have a swanky-ass book release party.
Mm-hmm.
Because I intend to have a swanky-ass book release party.
I intend to be there.
You are my man, 20 grand, so you know, there is that. what else could we talk about?
I found the address.
Oh, well, why don't you lay it on them, brother.
So Precious Metal is located at 143 Troutman Street in Bushwick, Brooklyn. That's 143 Troutman Street in Bushwick, Brooklyn. So come down 7 o'clock next week. Put your name in the pumpkin. Yes, I have a pumpkin that you put your names in. And then we will draw the names out, and you get 7 minutes to tell any true story that you'd like to tell.
I've taken about 9 to do mine.
I know. Taryn, what are you doing?
I've been working on the children's book.
You just been driving Mr. Abbott? Is that all
you're doing? Basically, I've just been driving Mr. Abbott, yes. Like, what you been doing? Working?
I'm working for you, Dave.
Oh, my God. There it is.
You know, we didn't talk about Black Panther at all.
And we will talk about Black Panther.
Absolutely. We are going to talk about Black Panther in, I'd say, about another minute.
Excellent. All right.
Look at that. You guys are getting teasers.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The Blog Talk people are getting teasers. You guys are getting teasers. Teasers. What'd she say?
Sequel.
Oh, sequel.
Yeah, somebody read your book.
Yes. Exactly.
I mean, I know other people have read your book.
Oh my god!
Maybe I was up and wrong.
Actually, it's like one of the actually a couple of people in the Harry Connick Jr.'s band. They have Killer Genius now.
Oh,
so,
nice!
So when I get back to work after the holidays, I'm probably gonna be getting looked at kind of funny. But anyway, we're gonna close out episode 37. I've got your Ragnarok, and well, you guys aren't. You know, we're not gonna kill Facebook Live. We're just gonna end this in 5, 4, 3. Love y'all.
Bye. All right, take care.